Good morning. If you got your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and let's turn to Psalms 16. That's where we're going to be this morning. Today we are starting a series that I have entitled The Pursuit of Joy. Now this is a series, it's going to be a book study through the book of Philippians. Now I wasn't really trying to do another book study. I was going to do more of a topical series for this next one. But as I kept praying about it and kept thinking about it, God kept bringing me back to the book of Philippians. And he's been working on this for a while for me. Like I look back at my notes, it's been like a year that God has been pointing me in the direction of Philippians. So I felt like it was kind of a timing issue. And you know, I always tell you guys, don't ignore the nudges. And I figured, well, I might as well practice what I preach. I'm not going to ignore the nudge. God is leading me to the book of Philippians for some reason. I think that he has a timely word for us throughout this series. So I'm excited about it. But I want to tell you guys just a little bit about how God directed me towards this series through the book of Philippians called The Pursuit of Joy. I talked with you guys a little bit last week about our cruise and how we were visiting these different nations and different islands and whatnot. And I told you that during our cruise, God was speaking to me in a variety of ways. He was speaking to me about a lot of different things. He was speaking to me about things that pertain to my life individually and our life as a church. And last week, I talked about how he was showing me that his kingdom is being built up outside of the little bubble that I have placed myself in of Fernley, Nevada and Northern Nevada region. That his kingdom is flourishing in all these different nations that we don't even think about, that aren't even on our radar. When I was visiting Cozumel and the Cayman Islands and Jamaica, I met other Christians whose goal and whose desire was the same desire that we have here at Journey, which is to make their city, their region, their nation, the hardest place on earth to go to hell from. And we talked about evangelism last week and how evangelism is one of our cultural values. It's our core value. It's why we do everything that we do. And we had a chance last week to pray for our Mexico missions team, who is actually on their way back this morning. I got a text this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Rachel texted me and said, we're crossing the border. Please pray for us that everything goes smoothly. And I'm like, I'm praying for you, sweetie. And then she texted me like 5 minutes later. She said, I cannot wait to get a shower. So they pray for them, be praying for them as they're traveling. That's a long drive. That's like a 12-hour drive or whatever. It's really a long drive. They're already tired from doing the work of God. So you know that they're physically exhausted. So let's be praying for them that they have safe travels coming back up. But another thing that God showed me while I was on my vacation, and it really struck home when we were visiting Jamaica. You know, as we were walking around, trying not to get stabbed, there was this, God was showing me that there was this spiritual atmosphere in Jamaica. And it was something that I couldn't quite put my finger on, but there was just something different in the feeling, the way I was feeling, the way the Holy Spirit inside me was feeling. There was just this different sense that was going on while we were just walking around Jamaica. You know how it is when you walk into a room and you can just kind of sense if there's tension in the room or if there's joy in the room or if there's sadness in the room, you can just kind of feel what's happening in the room. I call that a spiritual atmosphere. And there's just something in the air. And it's more than just our feelings. You know, oftentimes we just think, oh, that's just the way that person is feeling. Like right now, I'm not feeling well, I'm feeling sick. But that doesn't mean that you guys are feeling sick. But there is this spiritual atmosphere, there's spirits in the air that affect the way things feel in a specific location. Now, I'm not one of those guys that blames everything on spirits. I'm not one of those guys that say, oh, the devil made me do that, or the devil did that, or the devil did that. I'm not one of those guys. But we would be naive to say that there were no spirits that affected our atmosphere and affected our earth. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly in Ephesians 6, that we are not at war with the flesh and blood, but we are at war with what? Rulers, principalities of the air, the spirits of the heavenly realms. Now that's a Mark paraphrase, so if you're reading your Bible and you say, he did not get that one right, that's just the paraphrase of many different translations culminating into one. But as we were in Jamaica, I was feeling, sensing this spiritual atmosphere that I couldn't quite put my finger on until we got back to the ship and I was able to do a little more reflecting. That spiritual atmosphere, that spiritual climate that I was sensing, that the Holy Spirit was kind of quickening and trying to get me in tune with, that spiritual atmosphere was one of hedonism, one of self-seeking, one of pleasure, one of self-gratification. Now, I've never been to Vegas other than the airport, but it was kind of the same sense that I felt when I got into the Las Vegas airport. There was just this kind of this sense of hedonism of, I'm just trying to find something that is going to please myself in this area. You know that feeling that you get. Now, hedonism, I want to define this for us. It's a self-centered pleasure seeking. It's a sensual self-indulgence where everything is about, how is this going to make me feel? Is this going to bring me joy? And the entire aim, the entire goal of hedonism is pleasure. Pleasure is the highest good. It is the highest aim for human life in the philosophy of hedonism. And that is what I was feeling in Jamaica. And it was uncomfortable. My Holy Spirit wasn't comfortable with that. Now, in Ecclesiastes 2, King Solomon, who is the wisest man to ever live aside from Jesus, he gives us a warning against hedonism. King Solomon was a very wealthy man, so he performed this experiment. He wanted to try to find the pleasures, all the pleasures that this world had to offer. And one of the things that he sought after was just sensuous pleasure. What is going to bring me joy? And he spent money, loads of money, on just trying to find pleasure for himself. And the thing that he discovered, which he quotes at the beginning of his book and quotes at the end of this book, is that everything in this earth is meaningless. It's vanity of vanities. That seeking after pleasure for the sake of pleasure, that making pleasure my highest form of good, making that my ultimate goal, it was vanity of vanities. Everything was meaningless. It meant nothing. And one of the things that King Solomon says at the very end of his book is that everything is meaningless aside from the pursuit of God. When you pursue God, that brings true meaning into your life. And this is what I was feeling there. Now, of course, we were on vacation, so, you know, self-indulgence, especially at the dessert buffet, you know, that was kind of par for the course. You know, seeking pleasure everywhere. But I was convicted by this verse. I was doing my studies on the ship, and I was convicted by this verse. Romans 14:17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that I am not saying this morning is that God doesn't want us to enjoy our life. God wants us to have joy. God wants us to experience pleasure. God wants us to enjoy the creation that he has given to us. In fact, this is exactly what this verse is saying, that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy that is in the Holy Spirit. Not the pleasure of the flesh, not the self-seeking, self-gratification of hedonism, but joy in the Holy Spirit that is found in this pursuit of God. So what I was sensing in Jamaica, what was kind of making the Holy Spirit within me kind of tense up and kind of say, you know, this isn't right, there's something amiss here, is that what I was experiencing was that the pleasures that were being experienced in Jamaica were not of the Holy Spirit, but they were of the spirits of the air, the spirits in the heavenly realms, the principalities, the rulers of the air. And that is why it felt like that spiritual atmosphere, that spiritual climate, was one of hedonism, self-centeredness, pleasure-seeking. So as I was reflecting on this, God brought to mind a book that I read about 10 years ago. that absolutely transformed my life and my way of thinking and my way of really viewing God and who God is and how he wants me to actually enjoy life. The book that I'm talking about is a book called Desiring God by John Piper. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't read Desiring God by John Piper, that's one of the books that I highly recommend that you read. But in this book, John Piper talks about the joy, the pleasure that is experienced when we pursue God rather than pursuing the pleasures of this earth. And he coins this phrase called Christian hedonism. And what he means by that is that God is the one that should be most desired, above the desires of the flesh, that God is the one who we should aim towards. He is our goal. He is our ultimate goal of who and what we want to attain, that God is the one that we should be placing our focus on. And as we desire God more and more, we experience tremendous joy, tremendous pleasure that goes beyond anything that we could ever experience on this earth, seeking after the things of our flesh, seeking after those fleshly desires. And this is how I got the idea of this series, this pursuit of joy. But before we get into the book of Philippians, one of the things that I want to do this morning is I want to define what I am talking about when I talk about joy. What is joy? Now, Google, I looked it up. Yes, I actually Googled joy. Google defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Now, this is, of course, true. Joy is an emotion. Joy is happiness. Joy is this feeling of great pleasure. But when we talk about the definition that I will be using throughout this study, this definition falls short. It's incomplete. The definition that I want to use of joy as we begin talking about biblical joy and the type of joy that God wants us to experience takes into consideration the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. That God wants us to experience joy through the Holy Spirit. So the biblical definition of joy might look something like this. First of all, joy is a quality, not just an emotion. Now, what I mean by this is that joy is an emotion. Joy is something that we experience, something that we feel, something that we sense. And as an emotion, sometimes we don't have complete control over when we feel joy. Sometimes we instantaneously feel joy without even having to think about it. That's what emotions are like. Sometimes we experience emotions that we don't have to think about. Somebody cuts us off in the road. Our first initial emotion that we might have is anger or frustration. And then we think about it. We're like, I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel joy. Maybe they're in a rush. So we put ourselves in their shoes and we change our minds. But our initial reaction is an emotion that just wells up with inside of us instantaneously that we don't have to think about. It's kind of like, you know, if you're out in the woods and you see a bear, you don't have to think about, oh, I see a bear, maybe I should be afraid. Let me think, oh, yes, that is the proper emotion for this time right now. I should be afraid. No, instantly there's fear. The moment you hear the roar, the moment you see the big paws on this guy, you're instantly afraid. It is an emotion. Joy is an emotion, but it is also a quality. It's a quality in the sense that we can choose to have joy. It's a quality in the sense that when anger wells up inside of me or when sadness wells up inside of me, when I have this immediate emotion, I can choose to put that emotion aside, choose to have joy, which will make the situation better. It will improve the quality. Another example, say that you're out in a restaurant, right? And you're having a good time with your family, and there's another family just a few tables away, and have a screaming child. I mean, he's being rambunctious, he's going underneath the table, he's making a mess, and he's just screaming, making a huge scene. Your initial response, your immediate response, might be one of anger or frustration, where you're like, oh man, I just want to sit here and enjoy my meal with my family. But in that moment, you can choose joy, thinking of that, man, what a blessing it is that they can actually get out as a family. What a blessing it is that they have a child that has so much energy and he's gonna be something in life because, man, you can just see how he's moving around the table and how he has so much energy. And, man, how blessed am I that it's not my kid, you know? You can choose joy in that moment. Joy is an emotion and a quality. Another thing the Bible tells us is that joy is grounded in God himself, and it is derived from him. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Joy is the second one mentioned. That gives us a sense of importance that it is the second one mentioned right after love. God wants us to experience joy in our life, and it is a gift. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of joy that we often think of, that we associate with worship, is that we are called to rejoice. Well, what is rejoicing? Rejoicing is the act of being joyful, being filled with joy. Our lives exuding joy by the way we rejoice and worship our Lord and Savior. Oftentimes we think of God as a cosmic killjoy. We think of God as somebody who doesn't want us to have any fun. And if we're starting to have too much fun, God's going to throw a lightning bolt in our direction so that we stop having fun. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have pleasure in life. In fact, he even commands us to rejoice. He commands us to be filled with joy. He commands us to have joy. Did you know that to have joy or to the command of rejoicing is actually one of the most common commands in the Bible? The word joy or happiness or delight, that's mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. The word rejoice in itself as a command is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. If you count that up, that's over 400 times that God is telling us to have joy. That God is saying, be happy. That God is saying, have delight in your life. Have gladness of heart in your life. Think about that. God commands us to have joy. He's not that cosmic killjoy that we often think about. In Philippians 4:4, God says, rejoice in the Lord always. James 1:2, count it all joy when you meet trials. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the only thing it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is this, rejoice always. That's it. Rejoice always. Psalm 100, verse 1 says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What I have personally discovered, what was so eye-opening to me as I read the book Desiring God, what I have found that the Bible teaches is that true joy, that real joy that is much more than that superficial pursuit of pleasure, of fleshly pleasure that's found in hedonism, that real joy comes in our pursuit of God himself. Where God is the ultimate aim and God is the ultimate goal and God is the ultimate desire for our life. Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. This is our one main verse for today. We'll have a lot more scripture next week, but this verse, God brought me to this verse and he showed me this is what it means to pursue joy. This is what joy means in my kingdom. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You make known to me the path of life. This path of life. Path of life means how we are supposed to live. Who I am supposed to be. The direction for my life, the path of life. This is something that is innate within all of us. We all want to know, what is my purpose? What is my meaning? That's what King Solomon was trying to figure out. He's like, what is my meaning? What is my purpose? I'm going to perform some experiments, and I'm going to find out, what is the meaning of my life? We all want to know this. What is the meaning of my life? Why did God create me in the way that he created me? What is my purpose for existence? We all want to know this. This verse tells us that when we pursue God, he makes that known to us. He tells us. He shows us. When we pursue God, God reveals to us his purpose for creating us. That in itself brings this sense of fulfillment that we all long for. That in itself brings us this sense of fulfillment, this deeper joy of what it means to exist and who I am to be and what God has created me to be. It's a sense of fulfillment that is much deeper than the fulfillment that we can get from the pleasures of this world. Where King Solomon said, that is all meaningless, vanity of vanities. Second part of this is, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Complete and utter satisfaction. Complete and utter satisfaction. Happiness. Gladness of heart. Fullness of joy. This is something that I call soul joy, where it's this happiness, it's this emotion, it's this gladness of heart that is experienced at the very center of who I am. The very core of my being, my soul, the Holy Spirit, the very core of my being, I experience this joy, and it permeates the rest of my personhood. And where is this fullness of joy found? This verse tells us it is found in the presence of God. As we pursue God, we can experience this fullness of joy, this soul joy. Now, I don't know if I coined that phrase. I probably ripped it off from somebody because I'm not smart enough to think about that. But this is a joy that I think all of us here want to experience. Next part of this says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At your right hand, that is the commanding hand of God. The right hand is often used as a metaphor for God's omnipotence, his unlimited, infinite power. And what this is saying is that God's right hand, where his omnipotence resides, his unlimited power, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, joy for all eternity. Joy comes, this true joy, this ultimate joy, where we can experience something that's at the core of our being that permeates through the rest of who we are as an individual. All of this comes in our pursuit of God as our ultimate goal, as our ultimate aim. Not in the pursuit of the pleasures of this world, but in the pursuit of our God. And as I pursue God, he shows me the direction of my life. And he brings to me that sense of fulfillment, which wells up this joy inside of me. God gives me complete and utter satisfaction, deeper than any satisfaction I could ever get from any superficial means. And it permeates my entire being. God grants me this enjoyment through his right hand, where there is infinite, unlimited power. And he grants me this enjoyment for eternity, forevermore. I mean, this is the kind of joy that we are going to be talking about as we do this study through the book of Philippians. It's a joy that is a happiness. It's gladness. It's delight. It's an emotion. It's a good feeling. And it's something that God wants for all of us. In fact, he commands us to have this kind of feeling. He says, rejoice experience the fruit of the Spirit, experience love, joy, peace, patience, experience joy. So as we go through this series, I wanted to give us a definition of this kind of joy. Now, this is Mark's biblical definition for joy. It's kind of long, but I wanted to make it complete. So this is the definition of joy that I want to be using throughout this series. It is a feeling of overwhelming happiness. It is gladness. It is delight. It is a good feeling. It's not that God is a cosmic killjoy. He wants us to have joy. So he wants us to have happiness. And this happiness, this joy, permeates every part of our being. And it is given to us by the Holy Spirit as he guides us and teaches us. And we, as we pursue God as the ultimate aim for our lives. Isn't this the kind of joy that we all want? Isn't this the kind of joy that we all desire? Where we have this peace with God, this happiness that transcends all understanding, where we have this understanding of God in such a way because we are pursuing him, and he gives us this joy, this enjoyment of life, this gift that, man, I am blessed. Yes, I can have bad days. Yes, I'm still going to experience sadness. Yes, I'm still going to experience all these different emotions, but at the core of my being is joy. At the core of who I am is joy in the Spirit of God. Isn't this the kind of joy that we all want, that we all desire? A joy that we can experience, God says, forever, for all eternity. The crazy thing is that God wants us to experience this kind of joy. He actually commands us to experience this kind of joy. And God wouldn't command it of us if it weren't possible through the power and through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can have this kind of joy. That's the kind of joy I want. Now, during this series, I'm going to be referencing the book Desiring God by John Piper. I've mentioned it a few times already. I'm going to be referencing this book. And like I said, for me, this was a life-changing book. It really was. Before I read this book and got this understanding of God, I really thought, man, I thought God doesn't want me to have any fun. I was raised in a Baptist traditional church, which I love Baptist doctrines, so do not get me wrong on this. I love the distinctives. But I was raised in this church where they didn't permit dancing. You couldn't dance. And I was the children's pastor. I had my kids doing, you know, the lawnmower and the sprinkler and all that kind of stuff. It was fantastic. And then I'm told, we don't allow dancing. I'm like, it's just kids. They're like, yeah, we'll overlook it this time. But, you know, God doesn't want us to have fun. That was kind of the attitude that I had. And I'm like, man, if I start enjoying life too much, God's going to ruin it. So I better not enjoy life at all. You know, God wants us to enjoy life. And this book really opened up my eyes that as I pursue God, as I make him the desire and the aim, the goal of my life, I experience that joy. I experience pleasure. I experience happiness when I look at his creation. It's something that God wants us to experience. So I highly recommend picking up a copy of Desiring God. If you haven't read it, pick it up. If you don't read, you can buy it on Audible or buy it in an audio format. Kathy, my wife, she doesn't like to read, so every book that I recommend to her, she's like, put it on Audible. So I've got an Audible account. I swear I've spent most of my points on buying books for Kathy because that I want her to read, and she won't read them. But Desiring God is a fantastic book. But one of the things that you will see as we go through this series, and if you read this book, is that John Piper coined this phrase, Christian hedonism. Christian hedonism. And what he means by that is that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That means that God is our joy. We derive our joy from pursuing God. And in that pursuit of God, and in that joy that we feel, that pleasure of understanding who we are, who He created us to be, that joy that we get from experiencing God's creation, in that, giving Him all honor and praise, God is glorified. And He even enjoys it more than we do. God wants us to experience joy. You see the difference between Christian hedonism and fleshly hedonism. Fleshly hedonism is that self-centered pursuit of pleasure for the sake of pleasure. Christian hedonism is a God-centered pursuit of God Himself, where He is the highest aim and goal for our lives, and in that, we experience joy and pleasure and happiness and good feelings that we wouldn't experience otherwise, that far surpasses anything that we could experience seeking out the pleasures of the flesh. Guys, I'm excited about this series. I really am. I know that I'm sick right now. I'm hopped up on drugs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to bring the energy that I'm really excited about this. But guys, this is going to be a life-changing series for us, I believe. Because I want to be the type of person that when I walk into a room and the spiritual atmosphere is kind of depressing, or the spiritual atmosphere is one where the demonic powers that be are kind of oppressing that atmosphere, I want to be the one that when I walk into the room, the Holy Spirit within me, that fruit of the joy of the Holy Spirit within me, sends those spirits flying, sends those spirits running, to where when I enter into a room, people see the light of God. They see the joy that is within me because of my pursuit of God. They see that a love that permeates my entire being that is unexplainable to them, other than the fact that they know that when I walked into a room, kind of like my wife, when she walks into a room and smiles, lights up my entire world. I want to be that kind of person in this world, to where people want to know why I'm different, where they see the joy in my life and they want to experience that same joy in their own lives. So I have a few challenges for you guys this morning. First challenge is to pick up a copy of Desiring God. Again, you can get it in Kindle, you can get it in audio, you can get it in Audible, you can get it however you want to read it, however you desire to read it, you can get it. It's out there. It is a fantastic book. It's a book that's about 20 years old now, but it is still having an effect on people today. It's a fantastic book. Secondly, I want you to ask yourselves these questions. What is the ultimate aim for your life? What is your ultimate goal? Are you aiming towards God? Are you pursuing God? Or are you pursuing, I'm just trying to get through another day? Or I'm pursuing just trying to be happy? What is your ultimate aim for your life? Second question I want you to ask yourself is, do you find that you are satisfied in God? Do you find satisfaction in God Himself? Or is He just, to you, He's still kind of a cosmic killjoy? He's still that man up in the sky that doesn't want you to have too much fun. And if you have too much fun, He's going to put a stop to that. He's actually the exact opposite of that. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to experience satisfaction in your life. Now, of course, is God holy? Yes, God is holy. Is God to be feared? Absolutely, God is to be feared. There is no doubt about that. We should be in awe of our Lord and Savior. Absolutely. But God also wants us to experience joy. He wants us to have pleasure. He wants us to feel good. And as we feel good, as we find satisfaction in Him, He is glorified in that. So do you find yourself that you are satisfied in God? Last question I want you to ask yourself is, what currently brings you the most joy in your life? What currently brings you the most joy in your life? One of the ways that we can experience joy is by rejoicing, by worshiping our God, by worshiping our Savior. You know that feeling that you get when you come in and there are, you know, we're kind of, I know there's a lot of people gone today, but when we're a packed house and there are 150 voices in here rejoicing and praising God, you know that feeling that you get, that feeling that wells up inside of your spirit where it's like, oh man, this is the greatest feeling on earth. Don't think that God doesn't want you to experience that. He wants you to experience that. God loves it when we feel good, when we worship Him. And as we are worshiping in Him, and as we are feeling good doing so, He's feeling even better. He's experiencing even more joy than what we're experiencing at the moment, and His name is glorified. This is my challenge to you. Rejoice. Worship. Experience gladness of heart. Experience that joy that is eternal within inside of you, that starts at the core of your being, your soul, the Holy Spirit, and it just permeates the rest of your personhood. Let's rejoice this morning in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.